The 1-900 Wrestling Podcast is brought to you, as always, by everybody who is a patron on patreon.com. Oh, jeez. I'm choking on the value here, people. It is patreon.com/1900wrestling. Why is it so overwhelming? Well, not only do you just get to know in your heart that you are supporting this show, you also get the full downloadable clips of the Trey Warren Melodica challenges, and you get access to the 1-900 Wrestling Discord. This is the place that you need to be if you want to watch Raw, SmackDown, every pay-per-view that happens. There is somebody in there who is there to just hang out with and chat. Again, this is not a Facebook group where there's a billion different people in there and everyone's trying to get a word in edgewise. This is an actual conversation. I think it's the best place to watch live wrestling. You can be a part of it if you are a patron on patreon.com/1900wrestling, just as, little as a buck a podcast. That's all you need. Go ahead, check it out. patreon.com/1900wrestling. But never talking about how we do the show. What do you say we just do the damn thing?
I want you to call me for all of wrestling's latest news and views. I've been involved in wrestling for 35 years, and nobody knows wrestling like me. Remember the number,
1-900 Wrestling.
Oh.
Stupid idiots.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is time for yet another edition.
It's cooking.
Of 1-900 Wrestling. My name is Justin Robert Young. Joining me, as always, is my tag team partner, Willie Dills Gregory, live from Austin. What's going on, baby?
Not much, dude. Excited to get caught up again on wrestling with you, because I feel like this last week, this was I cheated a little bit when it comes to wrestling this week.
Oh my! I feel like we're both gonna admit something to each other.
Yeah.
But you go ahead. Go first.
I watched Raw.
Yeah.
And then I was busy the night of SmackDown, and I just watched the highlights.
All right.
On
so
YouTube.
So I was maybe even a little worse than you.
Yeah. Okay. I also watched Ups and Downs, What Culture Ups and Downs. So I feel like I still got a decent hang of what's going on. But
so,
anyway, all right. What did you do?
So I, unfortunately, right now, my hockey team's in the NHL playoffs.
Mm. Basketball team's in the NBA playoffs.
NBA playoffs,
yeah.
Right?
There's stuff going on.
So we're getting some competition.
Right? Sure.
And we're getting to the point where I'm going to be doing a little flipping, and maybe I'm going to be a little bit more of a hair trigger if there seems to be a segment that I'm not really feeling. I'm going to go ahead and flip it real quick, right?
Well, I told you. I mean, Monday was actually Raw was up against my Warriors playing I think it was the final game of that series against the Utah Jazz.
Same thing. Penguins were playing an elimination game. They could have eliminated the Caps. On Monday, I did not watch it. So,
here's the thing, though: the bandwidth right now of wrestling is kind of at an all time high, right?
Yeah,
or the bandwidth required anyway, and the amount that I actually have available is maybe at an all time low as far as what is competing against it, right? Like, there's just so much going on. I haven't watched a Twitch stream. In months, it seems like, except every now and then when I I get an alert that Justin's on or something like that, I might tune in here and there to say hi. But I used to feel like I spent a lot of time watching shows, Twitch streams here and there. And now I'm just like, I got to consume all the things to make sure I know what's going on. I can stay on top of everything. And it's too much, man.
Well,
I actually sat down and watched Will Ospreay versus Ricochet because it was on YouTube for a month only or something. I was like,
sure.
I guess I have to do it.
So the thing is, everybody is getting all up in the fact that the ratings for Raw were garbage.
Sure.
Partly because it was tape delayed because it took place in London. It wasn't the best show.
I guess I'd say that.
It is Raw's kind of a headless horseman right now. They don't have their champion on television, and Braun Strowman, who I don't know if y'all have noticed, has carried 30% of the show for the last, since WrestleMania.
Yeah.
He had one segment where he was written off television because he has an injury. So it's like,
look, all we know is Braun Strowman's not finished with anything, you know.
But by the way, can you imagine the pop that is going to happen when randomly somebody is backstage and you just hear from off camera, "I'm not finished with you." If they don't
oh God,
bring him back like that, then they are kidding themselves.
Yeah, but you're right. Like, Raw's in a little bit of a lull, right? Because yeah, the champion's not there.
Yeah.
What's kind of carrying the show right now are some very strange feuds that I think people weren't really kind of expecting coming out of the last pay per view, and also of course the SmackDown pay per view is the one coming up, right? So Raw's
they're in the lull anyway, and half the feuds that are there we've seen before. Everything
True.
Except and now everything's going to get rejiggered again because now they have to fill the Braun sized hole and reflip stuff. But the only fresh feud on Raw leading up to last night was Bray Wyatt, Finn Balor. Other than that, we've seen all those feuds either at the last pay-per-view or at the last SmackDown pay-per-view.
And I'll be honest, the Finn Balor Bray Wyatt one isn't making a lot of sense to me right now.
Well, apparently it's not happening because now they're going to move Finn to make up
for. I was
for...
just like, I don't know if I like this. It just kind of felt like they were like, well, I guess we got these two guys that aren't doing anything. They should just fight each other. And it was just kind of, I don't know, just kind of happened.
I'm also not a gigantic fan of spooky on spooky. Spooky on spooky for SummerSlam, WrestleMania, Survivor Series.
Well, think about like Kane versus The Undertaker.
But those were
both those
big
guys
matches.
Built up for years as brothers and then against other people. And then this kind of like that inevitable eventually.
Well,
That's not what's happening.
He debuted against The Undertaker, right?
But I mean, like there was a lot of mystique around all of these guys for a long time, and it was kind of like they always had to come back to each other a little bit, right? Like, can't really Finn, and also that's like, okay, is Finn Balor his Bray's brother? No, like
no.
That's yeah.
Yet.
Was he burned in a
yet.
Fire?
Yet.
Sure. Okay. You're right.
Yet.
But yeah, like Finn Balor is like has a weird beginning to his career. Like, he came in, then he left, and then he came back. And everyone's like, we're supposed to love this guy, right? Okay. Why?
All right. Well, here's what we're going to do. This is kind of a new format. We did a little bit of it last week, but we're trying to do a little bit more of it this week. This is your tour throughout wrestling, thanks to the 1-900 Wrestling Podcast. Let's go ahead and get this show on the road.
Green light.
Is Randy Orton happy? This comes to us from Twitter. Randy Orton lit wrestling Twitter on fire this weekend from the road out in Europe. This is the, for those of you who were not aware of this, who weren't following it, let me give you this recap that I got from Reddit. So apparently, an absolute no-name 24-year-old kid writes a critique of everything indie wrestling does wrong, presented as a match, including the word dive several times, notably ending his paragraph with ... dive. According to his years of accumulated experience and wisdom on his iPhone's notes apps, and he tweets it to Rip Rogers. Rip Rogers then retweets it and does some more old man yells at cloud stuff. Will Ospreay then takes ... dive, turns it into a meme, and makes a t-shirt that he starts selling with ... dive. Randy Orton retweets Rip Rogers' tweet, gets yelled at by Indy Marks. Orton then makes the following sarcastic apology. So here we go. I'm going to read this verbatim. Apparently, the notes app Dills is going over because that is what's happening. That is how wrestling communicates.
It's their version of tweet longer or whatever, right?
I know. Give us longer tweets. Otherwise, people will keep screenshotting their notes app, and we will keep finding out that Randy Orton
is. I just like noticing how many people have their Bluetooth activated. How many people seem to charge their phone on a regular basis?
I know Randy Orton has a very dangerous 8% right here, and apparently a local SIM card because he has a Denmark 3G connection. All right, so here we go. Sorry to the indie marks, indie guys, and old-timers who do dives who took offense. Just having a good time over a few drinks in Denmark closing the SmackDown Live tour. Now, Dills, this is where he could have just ended the apology and been done with it, right?
It actually sounds like an apology at this point.
It does. However, he continues.
Not a super sincere one, but in a pot, like no shots have been taken yet.
He's just like, hey, you want to know what? Twitter gets out of hand. I'm just trying to have fun. Yada yada yada. He then goes on though, while beating Raw in making over $5 million in the last 11 shows. That's also actually good. That's just good data. Like that's cool. I didn't know that SmackDown Live was doing better than Raw in the European market. Now I know that to some that doesn't equate to standing room only crowd of 150 people paying $8 at an armory somewhere. But in the big boy world, that's called putting asses in seats. So enjoy your flips, dives, and 20 super kicks per match. To each their own. I will go, quote, dive back into my 13th title run and get ready to, quote unquote, flip when my bank statement comes this month. He then puts his exclamation point on it by adding ... headlock. Is Randy Orton happy as a human, do you think?
Well, do we want Randy Orton happy? I like an angry Randy Orton personally.
Well, I guess I don't think he's necessarily angry. I just like are those the actions of a man with a content soul who is happy with his career?
No, they aren't. But I will say this though. There is a certain sense of defensiveness amongst people who are career WWE guys right now, because I think there's a lot of love for the indie darlings.
Yes.
You know, and the crowd's popping for guys who've never had a match in WWE. And it's kind of funny how they're integrating a little bit into the storyline. Like the Shinsuke feud is
similar kinda, to this. Yeah.
Is heavy on this. Exactly. I mean, that, you know, he's the whole point Dolph Ziggler made was that he hasn't even had a match and everyone's singing along to his theme song and oh my God, we love him. Like all he's done is like point his fingers a little bit and do some freaky moves, right? That's all he's done so far.
Yeah.
On SmackDown. So, and it's like kind of being now used against you, but here's now like the real life. This has got to be something they're actually talking about, right? And now there's like kind of a faction being built, which is like people who like the indies and then people who think they're stupid because of all the flippy shit and like, yeah. So have you read the actual thing the kid wrote?
Yeah. The Rip Rogers, what he retweeted was, it was basically a walkthrough of a typical indie match. And so
and
it was
look,
like,
it's kind of true. There's some truth to it.
Oh, sure. You know, it is accurate parody.
Sure.
That's,
yeah,
that's for sure.
Parody. It's like, let's talk about what people do on the indies and let's take it to like the nth degree, which is like now this is every match does this,
including the crowd reaction, right? Which I think is part of it is that they're and it's partly what I think Randy Orton is reacting to, that it's not just the guys, it's the fans, and the fans are steering things in a weird direction where they're not going to be happy unless there are 15 flips and three fight forever chants, and then at the end everybody shakes hands and thanks the promoters on Twitter,
like indicative of what's just kind of happening to humanity as a whole? Kind of like, I think we could take wrestling right now and cross it over into the non-wrestling world in a pretty real way, which is if I go to a concert, did I have fun at the concert? If I didn't tell everybody that I was at this amazing concert, whether it was actually amazing or not. And in a way, the fans all chanting is making them all feel like, yeah, this is really good. We got a hot crowd. We got this.
Yeah.
So everyone's like trying their hardest to make sure that it's like the most amazing show they've ever been to every single time. Right. And it's the same thing that kind of happens every time people go out with their friends and take a million pictures. Like, look at all the fun we had. Maybe they weren't actually having that much fun, but the taking of the pictures made it feel like we all had this amazing time, right? It's like not necessarily only happening in wrestling. This is just kind of people like forcing the good times out a little bit.
Sure. And by the way, if SmackDown Live's tour did bigger than Raw's, at least part of it is due to the Hardy Boys, who, by the way, spent the better part of the last year on the indie circuit. The fact of
building
the matter
that
is if you want to talk money, certainly no one's going to beat the touring, the international touring brand of the WWE. Although, as much as Randy Orton certainly deserves credit for how much that he's put in his very long career, people are going to see the WWE, not necessarily the people that are on the card, right? They are there to see the brand, and that brand is built like that specifically. But indie money right now is higher than it seemingly has ever been. So everyone's doing something right. But Dills, let's talk about something a little bit more focused. Obviously, that's very drama heavy. Let's get into something a little bit more wrestling focused.
Green light.
Do you think that Katy Perry should be taken to wrestler's court for stealing Miley Cyrus's gimmick? This is a shout out to the Marky Smark on Twitter. She pointed this out. This is Katy Perry's new look, and this is Miley Cyrus's. Do you think that The Undertaker needs to rule in wrestler's court on gimmick
infringement? We need a wrestler's court here? Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, look, there's a lot of infringement of gimmicks going on across wrestling and non-wrestling. As long as she doesn't start singing, you know,
they both got albums out.
As long as she doesn't
start
sucking fake penises on her tour, I think we'll be fine.
Do you think that
as long as her dad doesn't come out and pretend he wrote "Achy Breaky Heart," I think we'll be okay here.
They do both have albums coming out, though.
Okay, well, it's a natural feud then. You know, who's the heel here? It's got to be Miley Cyrus, right?
I mean, people are now also saying. By the way, if you are only listening to this on podcast, they both have short bleach blonde kind of a pixie cut sort of haircuts now, which is what we're pointing out. You can of course watch the YouTube version of this, youtube.com/Justin.
Katie comes into her show swinging on a wrecking ball, then we've got a problem, right?
People are also pointing out that maybe like this is also what we're forgetting, that Scarlett Johansson had this look as well. So maybe this is a three-way where she Scarlett Johansson's got to drop one of those blues albums again, and we can see who really is the owner of the haircut.
There's been some feuds in the music industry among the women. They're beefing. They're going at each other.
All right,
Nicki Minaj had a whole thing.
Fantasy book this feud then. All right, like where does this get kicked off? Miley Cyrus versus Katy Perry. They're both going to be maybe on talk shows or award shows or performances.
I know this. It's got to end at Madison Square Garden somehow.
It ends at Madison. Well, I mean, because like, all right. So here's what you would do. Here's
well, it probably ends on the Grammys. Actually, that's like that. I mean, that's like WrestleMania for the women, right? For all the singers.
I think
the Grammys, like at some point, like Miley Cyrus has to like come up as Katy Perry's winning an award or something.
Yeah. All right. Here's how it starts.
Finish.
Here's how
Catch
it starts.
Me outside. Yeah,
like yeah, like I, whole, I think I think yeah. like the Billboard Music Awards are coming up.
Okay. There you go. That's like SummerSlam.
So that's how we start it, right? Here's how it kicks off. Katy Perry's up on stage doing her song or whatever. Cut to the crowd. Miley Cyrus dressed exactly like Katy Perry in like the California Girls video, where she's like wearing like a cloud over her boobs or something.
Yeah.
Like something that's very obviously a ripoff of something like that.
And then I think we should have like a what's Miley Cyrus doing at the Country Music Awards, MAGA? And then, you know, surprise running. Yeah, I know. I think we got a nice long feud here that'll lead directly into the Grammy Mania season.
The road to Grammy Mania.
Green light.
Adam Cole.
I'm green lighting this all day.
Adam Cole and Bobby Fish are now either officially or, for all intents and purposes, on their way out of Ring of Honor, on the way allegedly to NXT. But meanwhile, Ring of Honor restocking. Chuck Taylor, the Kentucky Gentleman, made his appearance during a television taping. And Marty Scurll, who was already their television champion, is now taking Adam Cole's place in the ROH version of the Bullet Club. Does this make you more or less interested in Ring of Honor programming when we can barely watch the wrestling that we kind of have to watch for this show already?
We saw Scurll when we went to the Supercard of Honor, right?
The villain. He's fantastic. Oh, by the way,
It was him. And what didn't he actually fight Adam Cole? Wasn't that the match that we saw?
Yeah, I guess it was.
Scurll and Adam Cole. So I'm excited definitely for Adam Cole and Bobby Fish to come to NXT. I think that's really cool. That was also a day we saw Bobby Fish wrestle twice in that day, too. Because he was at the What Culture show, and then all of a sudden he did a random impromptu match.
Yeah,
at Ring of Honor. So
at Ring of Honor, yeah. No, he had to make that same hour and a half trip that we did.
And he did. I guess he didn't get to stop for a delicious Louisiana style food, but it was really cool to see them. I'm excited for all of these moves. I really like Scroll a lot. So, yeah, I'm gonna watch the hell out of as much ROH stuff as I can while they got some of these guys. Both of these brands are getting a lift, I think.
You want to know what I think part of it is? Is just movement. Like, just shake these guys around a little bit, right? Like, let them get in some new feuds. Let them get that little, like, oh, I'm excited that they're here heat. Like, we're now just in that kind of place where, you know, going back to our conversation last week about NWA, like, I really want Corgan to just be a governing body for the indies and just kind of, like, have a rotating stable of people that you're always excited if you're at one of these super indie promotions that now, oh, we're going to get Cody for 3 months. We're going to get Joey Ryan for 3 months. Like, we're going to get something that, you know, like that builds a storyline and has some shareable video promos and stuff like that. I would love that because you're right. This is just exciting. It's exciting to think about Adam Cole. NXT is kind of really hot right now. They got a really, really, really good product, and they're going to be able to add two awesome wrestlers to it. Chuck Taylor has had some of the most memorable matches at PWG. Now he goes to Ring of Honor where he gets a bigger platform. And Marty Scurll is fantastic. And now that he's going to work more with the Young Bucks where they have natural chemistry, I think that is just the best for.
Yeah. No, I think the movement thing is pretty important, but also the fact that these guys all are essentially getting introduced to every segment of the wrestling fandom, right? So at a certain point, no matter where they end up later on, they've been exposed to everybody, right? So whether or not WWE ends up being like your final destination and you end up there and then you stay, being there for at least for a little while means kind of like the rest of your career is taken care of as far as being an indie performer, right? Like, you're always going to be a name from then on. Even if, you know, like, there's definitely guys like Virgil who, like, are, you know, trying to scam you for $5 extra.
Sure.
But, you know, I think it's like once you've had that, it doesn't matter if that's where you don't have to then become John Cena, right? It's still, like, always a positive movement in your career. And this is going to be good for everybody involved, I think. But you're absolutely right. The NWA being like a big governing body and it doesn't really like put on matches. It just kind of is a thing we all know about. And you can apply that tag to things. Would be fantastic for all parties involved.
Without a doubt. Green light. All right. Do you know if I tell you Brian Alvarez, do you know his name? Are you a wrestling observer listener?
It's not. I'm not somebody. No, I don't listen to the show. But I do know who you're talking about because he's referenced quite a bit, and like R Squared Circle, all types of places on the IWC. People tell you know he's like he's not at Meltzer levels, but
he's the co-host of Meltzer. Yeah. You know,
But like when he like people aren't saying like what did Alvarez rate that match as? Right. That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Without a doubt.
But no, he's the guy who's like always like bouncing stuff back and forth with him, right? And yeah, I don't listen to it because it's too much bandwidth. They do like a long ass show every day, basically, right?
So and it's also like it's the template of the element of wrestling fandom that I don't like.
Sure.
You know, it is just all the like let's take 30 minutes to complain that the House of Horrors match was in darkness while it was technically light outside in San Jose.
It's also the thing where they're like, okay, now let's hold this up and scrutinize it. All right, now let's hold this up and scrutinize it. What do you think about this? And you're right, like spending a long time on each thing, which is something like we try to avoid here, right? It's like we're going to move around quite a bit. We're going to talk about all sorts of stuff. But also, we're not just going to like pick it up and say, "Tell me why this is good or bad," right? Like, let's just talk about it, you know.
Well, here's something I didn't know, and this we found on Reddit. He had a match in 2014.
Okay, which one is I can't.
So he is going to be right now. We are just looking at the referee's butt.
The referee's butt. Yeah.
I don't think that is him. This is Brian Alvarez versus Buddy Wayne, old school wrestling match. I believe that is him that just shook hands there in the white trim on black trunks.
This, it's kind of funny. Like, a lot of these guys come from the world of wanting to be wrestlers, right? And then there's the peripheral. Like, this is similar in like almost everything. In the music industry, every guy who was a roadie was also like some guy in a band a long time ago.
At some point, yeah.
Yeah. And then it's like, it didn't quite work out. He got offered to be a roadie for a band he was really like good friends with. And then he was like, oh, well, then I'm good at this. Check me out. Well, every like announcer outside of the, like, even Adam Cole was like wrestling for a while. Michael Cole was wrestling for a little while.
Yeah.
But. You know, it's like, yeah, it's just kind of the thing, man. I don't really, I don't find this actually that surprising.
No, I mean, I guess it's not surprising. Like, to me, what is surprising is how recent it is. That it's 2014. I mean,
yeah, but why is he still not doing stuff? I mean, he's got a name people know. Like you said, who is he? I know his name. I don't know, like, the ins and outs of his life and, like, his latest opinion on whatever. But I know, you know, who, like, if he was on a poster, I'd be like, oh, yeah, I know that guy. I've heard of that guy.
I mean, I'll tell you what. It's almost the time that he should be wrestling right now, right?
Sure.
Because he can just rile people up on his podcast and then say, hey, come see me. I'm going to fight the champion in this town. And people would go see him. I mean, listen, like we've been to shows where Dave Meltzer's there. Have we been to a show where Dave Meltzer's there? I've been to two shows where Dave Meltzer was crowd.
So, no. I wasn't in the same show then.
When you are in a crowd with Dave Meltzer, Dave Meltzer is the most popular person in that crowd.
Well,
at an indie
I guess
show.
Actually there might have – he wasn't like announced as being at What Culture, but I saw like they were talking to him at backstage at something on that same trip.
Yeah.
So maybe he was there.
No, I ran into him at NXT in San Jose. Took a selfie with him. Very nice guy. He was at the ROH show when WrestleMania was in San Jose. And he was just people gather around him. Somebody, I think it was on the We Watch Wrestling podcast, they were saying at Bola last year, the match that he ranked 5 stars, if at the end of that match he just would have raised 5 fingers up in the air, it would have been the biggest pop of the night.
Sure.
Like, these guys are huge. I'm saying, Alvarez, get in the ring, man. Get in the ring. This is your time, baby. The monoculture has shattered. You are a king. Get that money. Green light.
By the way, do you think he has the experience where everywhere he goes, everyone gathers around him and expects him to be putting on a show? Meltzer.
Everybody wants his opinion on stuff.
Like, it's just a bunch of people kind of standing around waiting for him to, like, talk about something so they can hear some insights, you know?
I can only imagine.
It's got to be like that. It's got to be a little bit awkward, right?
The part of it is that he doesn't exactly have, like, a broadcaster's cadence, you know?
So, no,
like,
yeah.
Like, I think that probably works against him, that people more want to go talk to him because he sounds so natural in the medium that they consume. So,
well, he's like an expert who got into broadcasting because of expertise, not necessarily a broadcaster who then, you know, got tied into wrestling and was like, okay, well, then I'll get into wrestling. Like, there's like two types of broadcasters in the world. You can always tell the difference between the two of them based on how they talk. And it is there is the broadcaster, the Bryant Gumbels of the world.
Yes.
Who are like, they just, whatever, what do you want me to broadcast about? I got you. Yeah. And then there's like, you know, the ex-NBA player that now is talking about, he's pretending to be a broadcaster. Exactly. Yeah. And he's that. Meltzer is kind of like that, right?
Speaking of ROH, at War of the Worlds this weekend, a co-promotion between New Japan Pro Wrestling and Ring of Honor, it was announced that New Japan Pro Wrestling has debuted the United States IWGP Championship. I got a couple questions on this. This is how it looks. It's a good-looking belt. Here's my first one, though, Dills. Does this make it more or less likely that Kenny Omega will ever be an IWGP heavyweight champion? Because you got to figure a belt like this. They want to put on somebody who can do American press. They want, you know, that more or less likely.
I actually don't think that this affects that possibility at all. I think that is like that. I think Kenny Omega is 100% going to be the champion, like the heavyweight champion before he leaves there. I think that he stayed there because that is like the end goal that has not been achieved.
Because that's what
yet, right?
that's his goal. I'm just saying, man, like you can put Naito up there. Naito in that Naito versus Okada could very much be the Wrestle Kingdom thing with him, with Kenny Omega defending the United States Championship against Cody Rhodes to get out to all the whites.
It's if they treat it at all like they treat the U.S. title in WWE, no American will ever win it.
No.
Right? Like, it will always be a Japanese guy or somebody from, you know, a Mexican wrestler or something like that. But, I really think Kenny Omega is, like, just kind of destined to actually have that heavyweight title at some point. And then here's where you could go with it, though. Then he could, like, kind of transition it to either giving it to Naito, who then now goes and has a big program with Okada for the next few years. Their feuds last years, though, not like a couple pay-per-views, right? So whether Kenny Omega wins and loses at this next one doesn't necessarily even mean that he's out of that picture. You know what I mean? But I'm really excited to see if they actually let him have the title now.
Here's all I'm saying. Number one, you can't put this in the same league with the WWE U.S. title or the NWA or WCW United States title because, like, that was their version, the NWA WCW version of the Intercontinental title. It was just the sub-belt to get you to the big belt. This is more akin to WWE's UK championship, where they want people that connect with that local audience to hold it. To me, there are two people that would mean the most holding that title. And that is Cody Rhodes and Kenny Omega. And right now, that's it and that's all. And they are going to try to build up the United States as a territory for them. So, I don't know. I wouldn't be shocked if it winds up going to Omega sooner rather than later.
Well, who do we know? Have they announced it all? How they're going to decide who their initial champion is?
I believe it is going to be at those Long Beach shows, but I don't know how.
Okay, so there's not like a battle royal or some sort of a tournament or anything. We haven't heard anything about that. Okay. Well, I mean, that's going to – how it starts doesn't necessarily mean that much, to be honest, because that's – you got to put it on somebody, right? And then you kind of take it from there. But a tourney in Rio.
Yeah,
okay.
There's a tournament.
All right, tournament. A perfect way to decide – who the initial champion is.
I'm saying. Oh, Jay Lethal is going to be in the tournament, so it will be ROH guys
well. That's a name.
Yeah, he could. Lethal could. I mean, if it looks more and more likely that he's not going to the WWE.
Green light.
Speaking of the WWE, Dills, who's going to be further up on the SummerSlam card? Rusev, who is now beginning to interject himself beginning this week on WWE television, or the Maharaja, Jinder Mahal?
So, weirdly enough, I think it's going to be Jinder Mahal.
Jinder Mahal? Well, number one, if, according to how this goes, Rusev is demanding a title shot.
Yes.
At Money in the Bank, SmackDown pay-per-view, right?
Yeah.
At Backlash, Jinder faces Randy Orton. So we could see Jinder versus Rusev for the WWE title at Money in the Bank should Jinder win. So you are saying that in that match, Jinder Mahal will defeat a returning, rebooted Rusev in his first match.
Well, does Rusev come back as a face, do you think?
What
because,
was that?
I mean, most of the time when people come back from like an absence, they just their face just kind of by default, right?
Sure. He's going to get cheered. Rusev will get cheered.
I think though the weirdest thing about all this is that there may have been a little bit of WWE writing that was kind of like, well, what do we do with Randy right now? Okay, we could just have him go against Jinder for now, and then that'll give us a little bit of time to set up like whatever the next thing is for this title run. And then Jinder like actually got a lot of heat and is just getting a huge reaction all of a sudden. And maybe it's the physique, and maybe it's that he's just gotten better. Maybe it's just the fact they actually gave him a mic and let him do some stuff.
Yeah.
But he's actually kind of gotten over as a heel, man. Like, I'm kind of surprised at how well
I think
it's
he's
working.
Great. Yeah.
Yeah. Those matches are still, he's still kind of Jinder. It's a lot of like knees and punches and stuff. And there's not, you know, but he sells pretty good.
Yeah. By the way, for everybody who's like wondering whether or not that match at Backlash is going to be any good.
Yeah.
Temper your expectations, and this is no slouch on Jinder, but if you look at Randy Orton matches, the only ones that he gets excited for are when he is facing people more athletic than him, which is effectively AJ Styles, Seth Rollins, and Cesaro. Other than that,
like, he has great matches with those guys because he's the perfect kind of foil for them, right? Like, he's that
I just think he gets bored. I think he gets bored when he is easily, while sleeping, more athletic than his opponent. And those are the only guys that push him.
It's true. The thing is that match needs to be not surrounded around a bunch of awesome spots. It needs to be a storytelling match. You know what I mean? And
it'll be fine. They can do. They can do.
Yeah. But they should not go for more than like 15 minutes, and there should be somebody working a body part.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and then we'll figure out. And then, of course, a run-in.
Headlock.
Singh brothers will show up.
Sure.
And, yeah. So, but like, Jinder's just working. And I can't remember the last time somebody came from the absolute depths of the, like, low tier. They have mid card. He is, like, low card. He is no card. For so long, right?
You know, they did that with Ryback.
Every now and then.
Remember they did that with Ryback? Like, Ryback was in Rybacksel and was very much kind of a tag team.
But he at least still had the Feed Me More phase of his career where...
Yes.
He was huge.
Yeah.
Like, Jinder never had that either, right? Like, what did Jinder ever have?
You know...
I can't...
That was in my dark phase, so I don't...
Sure.
But
I looked into it. I can't find anything where he ever touched like a chance for a belt or anything other than maybe like a tag belt. Like, he's never been in the picture. And now all of a sudden it's like I'm blown away because this is like the thing that's never supposed to happen, right? That you can't climb out of this. Like, did he grasp a brass ring?
This is one of those things that does drive me crazy about wrestling fandom because it's always like, oh, well, wins and losses don't matter because now that they're just been treated like crap, no one will ever believe them. Give them 2 months. Give them two months and they'll do a thing and then they'll do another thing and then they'll be back to where they were before. They just need some TLC. That's it.
That's I think, the very good point because I do hear that same thing all the time that and like people say that about like Dolph Ziggler now, like, oh, we'll never care about Dolph Ziggler again. It's like, no, dude. Dolph Ziggler goes on a hot streak. Everyone cares about Dolph Ziggler. Like, it's fine. You can't have everybody be at the top of the card all the time, even if you like them all, right?
Yeah.
And so you can have ebbs and flows in your wrestling career, and we're in a super flow, a heavy flow period here for Jinder. Right now I'm very excited about it, and I don't want it to just be like, and then Randy Orton squashes him and it's over. Because that would actually make me kind of sad at this point.
That has not been SmackDown's MO, though.
Right? You're right. You're right. Actually made him feel very much like, I believe he could win.
Dude, James Ellsworth still has a prominent role on television. And if there was ever a guy that they could just say, hey, you want to know what? We got the best out of you. We used every part of the buffalo. Thank you for your service. You turned heel on Dean, and that's it. He's that guy. But instead, he's still, I think, a fairly entertaining part of television.
But by the way, can I just tell people in chat who are, you know, and I know the joke about gender right now is you know, what he's doing behind the scenes. He can't be, look, the secret is consistency, and I believe him.
I mean, nobody diets. Nobody diets like he does. Nobody diets like Jinder Mahal.
No, man. He's out dieting and out working everybody. He also said he became straight edge, so no more alcohol. You know, I mean, he's got. I think what he's doing too is he's taking a Sing Boy in each hand and he's just powerlifting them at all times. Or Sing Brothers, sorry. They're not boys anymore. They're brothers.
So. No, they are brothers. Speaking of dieting. One of the competitors of at Backlash will be a United Kingdom title match between Tyler Bate and Pete Dunne. If Pete Dunne worked at a fast food restaurant, which restaurant do you think it would be? Like, that's the face that's looking at you right there across the counter. What fast food restaurant are you at right now?
I think he's the guy who.
Oh no! Sorry, it's not Backlash. It's NXT. My bad.
Yeah. He's gonna be at a takeover, right?
Yeah.
I think he's the guy who's like the manager who suddenly hasn't rung you up in a long time, and now he's in front of you because they're understaffed. And he's at the McDonald's. And he doesn't really know how to do it, but he's trying really hard.
That's great. Yes. No. Totally. He's the manager because you've asked for ketchup packets, and that frustrated the 14-year-old behind the counter, and so now that's the face that comes up to you and is like,
yeah,
like, what do you want? Ketchup packets.
And it's definitely, I think it's a Mickey D's. I think he works at a Mickey D's.
You think it's Mickey D's? We're getting a lot of Jack in the Box, White Castle, Church's Chicken.
I was trying to
chicken.
Think of like some other whatever. No, he works at Mickey D's, dude. Like, I was gonna say like a P. Terry's, which is a local fast food. No, he's. It's not a.
So you're saying that's the face of a man who gets stuff done. He might not be the most agreeable, but he gets the job done.
No, yeah. You'll get your ketchup packets. You know, they may be a little squished, but you'll get them.
Oh, do you think
maybe in Arby's?
Do you think he tries to power handshake the ketchup packets in your hands?
Yeah, exactly.
Here you go.
He's got to assert dominance, you know. Everything he does is in power. We know that.
He is full of power. In an interview this week, Kurt Angle compared Neville to Rey Mysterio in his ability to move up from the cruiserweight scene into the heavyweight scene because he has such a great look and he's such a good talker. So if Neville is Rey Mysterio, who would be his Eddie Guerrero, the guy that could really create an insanely hot blood feud with him that really elevates the act,
like Neville into that heavyweight division? I think there's lots of choices, honestly. It depends on if they want him to, because okay, if you're comparing to Rey Mysterio, you're talking about somebody who's like a super baby face though for a long time, right? I mean, I always kind of, maybe
sure.
He was a heel during portions where I wasn't paying as much attention.
Oh,
but
God. No.
Always
he was
like,
dude, have you ever watched any of the like last gasp years of WCW?
Kind of. I mean, I was around for the Monday Night Wars, but yeah.
No, like, yeah. This was.
I think I followed the herd and was like, oh, WWE.
There is some absolutely horrendous Rey Mysterio, maskless, wearing like the devil horns that you'd get at a Renaissance fair.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus. Horrifying. Total shit.
You know, I think could work really well with Neville is Kevin Owens. I think Kevin, like, but the thing is, again, it's like, does Neville become a face to make this feud happen? Does Owens, I mean, he's the face of America. But I think, like, he's a big guy who can actually move pretty good, and I could believe that they would have some really amazing matches. But I don't know if that's really the guy to get him over. Oh, God. Dude, that hair is awful, too. When your hair is, like, really thin and short like that, you do not grease it.
You can't. You can't grease it. Although, by the way, good-looking guy, Rey Mysterio.
Sure. Sure, absolutely. Is he still going? I remember he was, like, still doing a bunch of stuff, but people always talk about how bad his knees are.
Yeah, I don't know how often he's working, but I know he had a bit of a problem getting his money out of AAA. I think that was the last thing I heard from him.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, you want to know what? I'm with you on Kevin Owens. I wonder, you know, I almost wonder if it's not somebody meaner than him. Because I think right now what's worked for Neville, what's kind of revitalized his career is how vicious he is, which can work as a face if you have somebody that is such a dick that you know it really requires somebody who is just ruthless to unseat him. So I'll tell you what. You want to know who I would say? The manager of Arby's, Pete Dunne.
Yeah, okay.
I feel like Pete Dunne is somebody that younger, snottier, you know, is snide in a way that Neville for his anger now, he's still earnest. You know, you don't really see him as like, yeah, he thinks he's the best, but it's because he kind of is. You know, you look at that roster and you're like, all right, yeah, Neville should be the king of the cruiserweights. He looks like $1 million. He moves like a dream, of course. I would say Pete Dunne. I would love a Pete Dunne Neville feud.
That would be pretty fun. You know who else though too? I'm gonna do a little callback to a match that we actually saw live, and I'm gonna say a Seth Rollins Neville feud could be pretty damn fun because Seth Rollins can, you know, it's a bigger guy physically, but also like a high flyer, but belongs in the heavyweight division. We saw the Neville Seth Rollins match
at Raw.
Neville had hit the red arrow and then the pin with the, you know, leg on the rope, and people still talk about all the time on Squared Circle.
That's one of those clips. It's not quite Jay Lethal's Ric Flair impression, but it is one of those things that just pops up every 3 months reliably. Like somebody posts that match.
Like he, it was believable that he would beat the current, you know, super heel Seth Rollins, who'd never lost, right? So, I think there's options there.
All right, I got something for you. Green light. Do you listen to the Something to Wrestle With podcast with Bruce Pritchard?
You were telling me all about the you recently got into it quite a bit, right? When we went to Orlando,
I wound up in Orlando. To completely immerse myself in wrestling, I wound up getting way into the Something to Wrestle With podcast with Bruce Pritchard. And I wanted to play a clip from you. Just go ahead and the question is going to be racist, funny, or both? All right?
Okay.
Racist, funny, or both? This is a clip from this week's episode of Something to Wrestle With Bruce Pritchard. Discussing WWE's reboot of ECW, and that's all the context I'm going to give you. Here we go.
I'm just saying, you have a Mexican offensive voice. Do you have a way to
Punjabi prison? you go to Punjabi jail.
Do you know how we came up with the Punjabi prison match?
Here, wait, let me skip it ahead just a little bit.
Fucking Indian food. I go down to Cuisine of India at least once a month, man, and I get the buffet.
And sometimes you just set the motherfucker up and go, oh.
Ah, man, I think I botched this. It was just before. He sings the Big Boss Man theme in his Punjabi voice.
Feels racist?
I will put it at the end. Funny, racist, or both? Big shout out to Conrad Thompson and the Something to Wrestle With podcast. I did F up. I effed up the clip. I didn't just let it go because I thought it was going to get too long.
I think, okay. I'm not a person who takes necessarily offense to any kind of stuff, but I'm also white.
Sure.
So it's not my place to really decide that something's offensive to, you know, but I think it's funny, but Yeah, that's I'm only making that judgment for me.
So you are saying personally,
totally offensive, and I respect.
You are not stamping it. You are not stamping it as not racist for the world. You are processing internal paperwork that says not racist for me.
I am not enraged right now. In fact, I kind of laughed a little bit. The thing though, it's clearly like part of a. I can tell it's like part of like, oh, wouldn't this be funny? And then just kind of a thing that you
no,
did,
no,
right?
No. Listen,
so maybe not the most well thought out bit in the world.
No, it in the context of their show, it's very, very funny. I am intentionally playing it out of context to just see how it plays.
But see, I've done enough radio shows to understand that like you could pull something from a moment and it makes no sense.
There are as many moments in every podcast that I have done over the last 7 years, especially Night Attack and the after shows that are on the internet right now, as many stars in the sky are there moments that you could isolate and end any career I have. Like, it just happens. If you're doing a certain kind of humor.
You go down rabbit holes, right?
Yes.
And then that rabbit hole suddenly leads to another rabbit hole. And next thing you know, you're five rabbit holes deep and nobody understands how we got here. But it makes sense then.
Yeah.
I'm sure there was Big Boss Man rabbit hole. There was something about gender going on. There was ECW things happening.
Yeah.
There was lots and lots of different things going on. And then this all kind of made sense.
Somebody get me that clip. Somebody get me the time code of exactly where he starts singing the Big Boss Man thing. Because I do want to play that. We'll play that by the end of the episode.
Green I just got to listen to the actual Big Boss Man theme song now. I'm just going to put it on.
Dills, who is the prettier sleeper?
Not a question that I hear every day.
Is it? Apparently, you know that there's an Instagram, there's a gram war on right now?
All right.
The gram war is between AJ Styles and Charlotte Flair. I believe it started because AJ Styles posted this photo. Of Charlotte Flair. For those of you only listening, this is Charlotte Flair, I believe, on the bus, because on the European tours, everybody travels together on buses as opposed to getting rental cars and stuff like that like they normally do for domestic travel. And so this is Charlotte Flair about as comfortable as you could possibly be on any kind of transportation. She's got full wrapped coat. It looks like a comforter around her. The neck pillow.
She's being swaddled by all of the accoutrement that she's got here. It looks more comfortable than what I feel like in my own bed.
Yeah.
This is incredible.
She looks
is clearly like
a
practiced traveler and knows how to get some Z's.
This is
amazing.
Getting it in. Now, this apparently was retaliated. The AJ Styles, the commentary here was Charlotte and her beauty sleep. This was retaliated by Charlotte posting this picture of AJ, hashtag phenomenal sleeper.
One of them needs a lot of help to sleep. Clearly, needs to have robes and, she clearly like needs at least a belt. AJ is just like, I can sleep wherever, man. Put me in any program with anybody. I got this.
He's like, what do you need? What do you need?
Yeah. Oh, you want me to sell? Oh, you want me to win? You want me to lose? I don't care, man. I got you. He can just kind of go. But I will say this. Prettier sleeper, it's got to be Charlotte. I mean,
you
know what would have been sweet here is if the only equipment AJ Styles had was he was just wearing the gloves.
I'd like to imagine that he holds his gloves in front of his face and it's just Z's.
Yeah, he's holding them like this and he's sleeping. Yeah, that'd be fantastic. Hey, speaking of travel, everybody traveling on the road, I think I've got a story maybe we should, if we were to ever take our time on a story, we should maybe go discuss and go through the plane ride from hell, which I'm not sure if you've ever heard
God,
of.
Oh, God, yeah. Oh, totally. No, that's...
So,
that's...
Yeah, I found the story recently because it's another thing that kind of pops up from time to time.
Oh, yeah.
On Squared Circle. But I read through and watched the videos of, like, X-Pac giving the interview about it and everything. We should maybe have an episode where we talk through a bunch of that, maybe even reenact some of the scenes.
Reenacting? Oh, yeah. No, because there's like four or five different things that are going on at once.
It's kind of insane that they're like, oh, all this happened on one plane ride. And you're like, no, one of those things happened, and then everybody sat down, right?
No.
More stuff kept happening.
All of it happened at once, apparently, at the same time. Yeah. All right, here's Bruce Prichard singing the Big Boss Man theme.
That's right.
I think they did, as a matter of fact, but at least we didn't make him like the Punjabi big boss man.
Would you come calling down to Punjab, India? You better look around. You better think twice. I give you hard time. Talking hard pipe.
Oh, I can't breathe.
Oh, this is our best show ever.
Big shout out to Conrad Thompson and Bruce Prichard. I think that they right now hold the heavyweight champion for championship for wrestling podcast. Love, love, love what they do over there. So all praise to them. We did have one more clip, and this was about AJ Styles. So let's stay on the AJ Styles train. This is what he said about skipping NXT. Let's go ahead and take a look at that. Big shout out to Inside the Ropes for this clip.
I know that I didn't go through NXT. I understand that. But the learning curve is very steep, and you better learn very quickly if you're able to bypass NXT. That's why it's so important. I've said this to Triple H, that they need to go to NXT. There's so much that goes on to just the camera and the way it's directed at you that I didn't learn anywhere else, that they want it done a certain way. And you can only learn that either as soon as they throw you into the fire and it's sink or swim in the WWE main roster, or you go into NXT and you learn. And then
do you think that part of the reason why everybody should at least do a shot in NXT is just so their main roster debut isn't hampered by them just learning where to look at the camera and stuff like that?
I mean, there's definitely something to that.
Because we've heard it a bunch. You know, that was apparently Finn Balor's thing, was that it took him longer than he expected just to learn where to point to the cameras and stuff like that.
Sure. Sure. He was just kind of used to just aiming wherever, right? But generally, most of the time, an audience is kind of set up around the ring in such a way that one side is kind of considered the main area, right? Like kind of the front. At most wrestling shows I've been to, it feels like there's one section and then there's kind of a section where there's equipment and things, right? And just stuff. Whether there's a bunch of cameras or not, it's just kind of naturally how things end up. You need access to the ring from one, so you could kind of, in a way, during your indie career or wherever, pay attention to that. But he's very right that it's not something that they're actually actively teaching you. You're just kind of going out there and winging it a lot of the times, right? On other promotions. So WWE is one of the only ones that apparently is just super particular about this. And that's, of course, because of that thing. They're making movies, right? They're not making,
movies,
necessarily,
pal.
Matches. Yeah.
I'll tell you what.
It'd be helpful, though. Imagine if you just joined a touring musical production and nobody taught you how to project your voice or whatever.
Yeah.
And you were like, I sing my whole life. And now you're singing like you're in the shower in front of an audience with no microphone, right? So there's things you got
to
know.
I mean, I think a Grill Patzer in the chat says he's saying he was lucky to be a quick learner. I think what he's saying, if I'm going to read between the lines here, is that we've heard a million stories of guys that get one shot in the eyes of Vince McMahon, right? And he sees them and he's like, Matt, don't see it, don't like it, get it off. Crowd didn't react to it. And if you're going to add to that the idea that you might screw something up because you haven't learned enough of this very specific skill, ain't about wrestling, ain't about your moves, ain't about your conditioning, it's about that you didn't look at the right camera, then yeah, it's worth it to go to lower stakes training camp and then come up to the main roster. So when you do have your one moment to shine, that isn't taking away from it.
Yeah, let's imagine you work your entire life in the gym, 8 hours a day, eating right, doing all this stuff, taking your vitamins,
Yeah.
And then suddenly you show up at WWE and you don't know how to look at a camera. And that's what screws it up for you. That's got to be pretty devastating, right? So, yeah. It's like I worked my whole life learning how to, like, write a book, and then I couldn't illustrate, so I couldn't get a book deal.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, I didn't know I had to know that.
How was I supposed to know?
Nobody told me this. You know, so, and like, it's one of the few industries where they want you to, like, or a few pieces of this big industry where they want you to know all of these other things that aren't necessarily taught anywhere else. It's kind of weird. And yeah, AJ is lucky because he just showed up right away. It seemed to be a natural, but he's just like one of those guys, right? He's just kind of a natural at stuff.
He's
a lot
phenomenal.
Of people are not. Apparently, Finn Balor is one of them.
Yeah. Well,
you think those abs are natural? He's working hard.
Hey, I'll tell you what. He might be the only one out dieting Jinder.
Out dieting Jinder. I know, right?
I'll tell you what.
They're both. I mean, and Jinder's younger too. So Finn Balor's got to be working a lot harder at his age, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, geez. You know, who knows? Who knows with that guy, man?
Look, right. I know how hard it freaking is just not to get, like, a huge belly.
Not to get mega fat, right? I'm like,
yeah,
dude,
I'm just trying not to be fat.
I run every day, and I work out 4 days a week, and I'm barely clinging to not fat, right?
Exactly. Like, I'm, like, I still kind of look like I'm in my mid-50s as far as body type.
Yeah. No, listen, this is hats off to literally everybody who takes their shirts off, regardless of what your profession is. Red light. All right. That
red
brings
light
us,
on us taking our shirts off, I guess, is what we're saying there.
That brings us to, I think, my favorite part of the show. This is the Melodica Challenge, of course, authored by Trey Warren. He has assured me, Dills, that at this point, his skills on the Melodica in this batch begin to degrade. And
okay.
We're going to start to get more into the puzzle theme of these clips.
All
so
right.
Here we go. This was last week's.
Now, obviously, we all know it's Shinsuke.
Shinsuke.
Another thing about it too is it's a very recent one that is, like, heavily in the forefront of everyone's minds right
yeah.
now, right? As being, like, one of the best themes. So the other thing that Trey could do is maybe pull from the past a little bit, and it might be a little bit tougher. Whether the quality is as top notch as that one was or not. But so I guess what Trey was trying to tell you is he's in the Dolph Ziggler portion of his career. Like, he doesn't have it anymore is what we're about to find. Can't win the big one.
I don't know for sure.
Okay.
But what I gather from Trey is that he does these while maybe drinking a little bit.
Mm.
And he
NXTs them. He does a batch. And
yeah.
Then,
oh, no. So yeah. He records them all together.
Sure.
And so maybe at about this point, That liquor's starting to talk to him.
Sure.
And things are getting a little bit loose. He is in the chat right now telling us that this is garbage. Here we go. This
right.
is the Melodica Challenge. Be careful what you wish for, Dills.
Wow. Okay. Talk about a puzzle.
This just sounds like something that you'd find at a bistro in Paris. Listen to this one more time. Ha All right, folks, if you know what this is, go ahead and at reply, at Willie Dills and at Justin R. Young, if you can pick this one up. If you want to know the answer, we are posting not only that, but also the downloadable clip, so you can have this for your very self on our Patreon, patreon.com/1900wrestling. We wanted them less coherent, Dills.
And yeah, well, here there's some, I don't know if the everyone's going to catch this. There's some cues there that are, you might have to turn your headphones up, turn your cans up if you're listening to this and you're not catching it.
So wait, do you know what this is?
I had to turn it up to actually hear what was going on there.
Do you know what this is?
I mean, I have an idea, but I'm gonna need to do a little off camera research here to make sure.
I think that I've had a line on every single one of these since we started doing it.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
No idea?
Okay. No idea.
I'm going to have to go into the archives and like listen to a few and see if I'm on the right track.
Oh, my God. Well, that about wraps it up.
That's for sure.
That about wraps it up for this edition of the program. Willie, what you got going on this week?
So my mother will be in town this week, so stream times may get a little wonky as we, do some hanging out. But basically, you can expect all my standard content throughout the week. We'll have a bunch of streams on twitch.tv/WillieDills, a bunch of podcasts all coming out on A-Move, of course, here. And then there's the Instance rebranding. If you're a fan of the Instance, we may be moving the show away from our normal format and more into a little bit more of a discussion-based, topic-oriented type of show rather than just spitting out the news, which could be pretty cool.
Wow.
Because they're not giving us a lot of news, so we need to figure something else out.
This is kind of a big deal. You know,
like 12 years of the show.
Yeah.
It's becoming apparent that unlike the world of wrestling, they're not going to give us a lot to talk about every week. So
that's just Blizzard as, you know, they're just in a, I mean, like all their big franchises are launched, right?
So Warcraft specifically is not really doing a lot as far as stuff to talk about week to week. And so we've been doing this kind of roundup of everything. But then that's just not the greatest format for a show, right? Especially when it started off being a WoW show. We'd like to talk about WoW more.
Yeah.
So this will give us a chance to kind of grab a thing from the game, grab a topic, something that like the game, what does it mean to your real life, whatever, when we can long form discuss that. So there'll be some more like segmented stuff too, like some games and audio stuff. We'll see.
You guys certainly have the crew to do it, as I think, you know, you, Beja, Terps, Scott, I mean, four of the most natural talkers that I think I know in life, let alone in podcasting. So
when all four of us are there, it can be very busy.
Yeah, and I think that kind of discussion is better than just everybody trying to muster up a take on a patch note, right?
You know? Yeah. It's like, oh, by the way, Hunter DPS went up 2%. Let's talk about it.
Yeah. What does it mean for you? We'll be right back.
Yeah, there's better stuff we could do. So I'm excited for that. But mostly just come check out my Twitch channel if you haven't already.
Yeah.
We have a good time over there.
Get up in there. Go ahead. Check it out. Wallow around a little. So are you going for Wild Legend?
That's what I have been doing. But I'll say this. It's really weird because there's so many decks.
Yeah.
You can't like pick on a deck and then climb up the ladder really fast, right? Like at standard, I could be like, oh, I'm seeing a lot of this. I will target it.
Yeah.
And I will climb the ladder. And in Wild, you're like, I'm seeing all sorts of stuff. I have no idea what
God
knows
what
the best chance to win.
Only God knows.
But that's what I wanted out of Wild, right? I think that's what we all want.
No, certainly. No,
smorgasbord. It's a damn battle royal all day, and you never know.
I played a little bit of Wild on stream. It was very fun, hilariously fun.
Yeah,
I think Wild is in a great place. Hearthstone is in a great place for all the carping that people were doing about it a couple of weeks ago. If you want to email the show, you can do so, JustinRobertYoung@gmail.com. Put wrestling in the subject line. And, of course, thank you to Trey Warren, who does our Melodica challenges. Until next week, I am Justin Robert Young. That is Willie Dills Gregory. We will see you next week. next Monday.
Nobody knows wrestling like me. Remember the number
1-900 Wrestling.
Stupid idiots.
They call me Hara.
If you smell what The Rock is cooking.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.